All right, I've been looking forward to this new sermon series. It's called Be Fruitful and Multiply. Let's kind of see. Do you remember that, Martin? Yeah, you did. Okay, good. So let's see what God has in store for us with this sermon. Matter of fact, one of my favorite memories of growing up, some of you probably will identify this, some of you may not, is we had a huge garden growing up. We did. It was huge. Matter of fact, we had all kinds of vegetables in it. We had tomatoes and cucumbers, squash, green beans, lettuce. I mean, really, almost any kind of vegetable that you could think of, we had in there. But what made our garden really cool was every so once in a while, my dad would just have us pick out some weird, funky seeds, and we would just plant them anyway. So we ended up with like Swiss chard and kohlrabi and spaghetti squash, just not some of your typical vegetables that we just fell in love with. Matter of fact, it was quite common where my parents would literally say to us, all right, guys, go outside of the garden and pick something for dinner. It was either we would pick some stuff to put in a salad or we would just have kind of a fresh vegetable with dinner. And it was kind of fun, to be honest. I mean, and surrounding our garden, so think of it as like a really big square. On one whole row, like one side, was this huge grapevine, which was kind of cool, and which literally did put out grapes. On the complete opposite side, we had two peach trees, a plum tree, and I think it was a cherry tree, but I can tell you I never found any cherries on that tree. And after the peach tree, it would grow these huge peaches, but then all of a sudden the next day, they'd be gone. So we weren't sure if it was squirrels or a hungry neighbor or something, but we never ever actually tried the peaches on the peach tree. But really, it was kind of a fun childhood experience. I mean, even the weeding, which was kind of a pain in the neck, but I know my dad put a lot of work into it with all the preparation that he had to do. But I've been praying a lot about 2020 and where we go as a congregation. And I really believe that this is the year where fruitfulness is going to be important. Now, a lot of you may be like, wait a minute, Pastor. Isn't fruitfulness important every year? I mean, shouldn't we always be looking at that? Well, it kind of depends on the season that you're in. If you think about it, I mean, in the winter, you really don't worry about the fruit, do you? In the winter, where's most of, if not all, the growth happening? Below the surface, right? That's when the roots kind of, you know, grow and get deeper. But it's once spring comes, though, you kind of get a good idea of what's really been growing underneath the surface. I mean, we begin to see what we're made of. We begin to see if have those roots grown deeper, or maybe, you know, you've been damaged during the winter. You'll see if you're ready to produce fruit, or has maybe a disease or something happened on the tree that causes you to be not able to reproduce. But see, I believe that over the past few years, God has really given FCA a lot of good root-growing messages. What do I mean by that? I mean by messages that really have challenged you to understand the fact that God's always speaking to you. And your job is to listen to what God is saying and to immediately do it. Now, I firmly believe that very soon, early this year, you're going to begin to see, well, what kind of fruit am I going to be producing? Or, unfortunately, am I fruitless in certain areas or maybe in almost all areas of my life? Now, why are fruits so important? Well, fruit's purpose, and you can look this up in any form of dictionary or encyclopedia, the purpose for fruit is purely reproduction. That's what fruit is there for. It is the container of the seeds. So, matter of fact, the first thing, the job of the fruit is to do is to protect the seed. The first thing it does is it keeps the seed from drying out. It's surrounded it. It also, what it does is it protects the seed from like insects and small animals, basically things that want to eat the seed. It keeps the seed safe. But the second thing that fruit does is it provides nutrition for the seed. I mean, think of it this way. You know, an apple full of seeds. It drops to the ground. What happens to that apple? It rots. It literally becomes fertilizer for those seeds. So when the seed germinates and begins to grow, it has a better chance of producing a harvest, of actually growing big and strong. Matter of fact, without fruit, the plant will eventually die. No plant is designed to last forever. It really doesn't work that way. So that's why fruit comes with seeds. So in essence, that plant will never die because it's always reproducing itself. Matter of fact, it's the same with us, because look how God describes man and woman after he creates them in the Garden of Eden. I'll read a quick scripture in Genesis chapter 1. I'll have the verses behind me if you just want to follow along. But Genesis 1, 27 and 28 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have domination over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" See, we were designed intentionally to be fruitful, with the specific purpose of multiplying. It wasn't just to be fruitful to look cool. It was so we can grow. Matter of fact, he literally says to fill the earth. That's why God created us. And it wasn't just to fill the earth, but it was to rule over the earth, to have dominion over the earth, which basically means to conquer and rule everything in it. So this morning I want you to turn, this is where we're going to spend most of our time, John chapter 15. Turn with me to John chapter 15. I want to talk about the fruit that God wants to grow in us. John chapter 15, I'm just going to read you two verses in its entirety. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, what I want to do this morning is I kind of want to pull apart these two verses. I want to see what we can learn from them. Matter of fact, what I'm first going to do is let's look at the different roles that are actually mentioned here, because it mentions a few of them. So back to verse 1, the first part says, "I am the true vine." Now, you know what that tells me? Number one, it tells me that there are lots of vines in this world, but there's only one true vine. Matter of fact, the word true here means real or genuine. And see, look at it this way. Jesus really and truly wants to be what a vine in the natural world provides to the branches that are attached to it. I mean, think of it this way. A vine's job is to provide all the nutrition to all the branches. Whether the branches are big or small, all the nourishment for those branches passes through the vine, right? That's just the way it works. Matter of fact, the vine that connected to the ground, all the nutrients come up and spreads to all the branches. So Jesus is the source of everything that you need in order to grow, as long as you're connected to him, right? But the scripture also is saying that there are other possible ways that you can get nutrition. See, Jesus didn't say that he was the only vine. He said he was the true vine. And there's a difference, right? What that means is if you're growing, something is causing you to grow. Because if you're not connected to something, you will die. You will. Eventually, you will shrivel up and you will die. There's no way around it. So I guess you have to ask yourself is, what am I connected to? Continuing in verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." So God in heaven, our Father, he is the vine dresser. Some versions I think use gardener, I think is what they do. And the word for vine dresser here means the one who has care of the vineyard. Kind of makes sense, right? It's their job to nurture, to trim, and actually defend the vine. It's someone who has a deep interest places a high importance on the growth and the protection of the vine. And think about it. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, Jesus was given as a sacrifice to forgive our sins, right? And by receiving that, by faith, it basically is giving us everything we need on earth to accomplish his purpose. And all this was orchestrated by God the Father, right? The vine dresser. His job was to give us what we need in order to accomplish what he has us to do on earth. He's the gardener. So that makes sense. Let's do that. So verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me. See, the fruit we produce is based on the vine or the tree that we're connected to. Would we agree? So when something, it's interesting because when something kind of first springs out of the ground, you know, when it's just kind of a little sprout, kind of hard to figure out what it is, right? Based on a little, you know, little sprout, maybe a leaf or two. It kind of reminds me when my dad was doing the garden. I remember whenever we would plant something, he would do them in rows, which makes sense. And he would do something kind of unique. I don't know, some people do it, some people don't, but he would put a stake on each end of the row and he would put a piece of kite string in between. Just so we knew where the, you know, the, where something should be growing from. And at one of the stakes, he would take the empty seed packet and he would literally attach it to that stake. Why? Well, anytime we wanted to know what was supposed to be growing there, we had a picture of what it would look like. And that's what would happen is slowly things would begin to grow or not grow, and we'd be able to go over to see what was supposed to be there. Now, but I can tell you this, if we went over and we saw tomatoes, you know, on the picture, because we know we planted tomato seeds, guess what we expected to grow? Tomatoes, not lettuce. Not cucumbers, not even weeds, because when we found weeds, we plucked them. But we always had that kind of picture where we could check to be sure, you know, is this what we expect to see plant-wise? Matter of fact, James 3:12 says, can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Those are pretty self-explanatory questions, right? What's the answer? No. I mean, matter of fact, it seems almost silly to say that, doesn't it? Neither can a salt pond produce fresh water, yield fresh water. Now, that's, if you could just capture that alone, it could actually be life-changing. What it's saying is we should be able to look in a mirror and see what we're growing. We should be able to know where we're connected into based on what we see. Because a fig tree can't bear olives. Here, put it this way. You could say that you're a gentle person, that you flow in gentleness. But if every bit of fruit that comes off you is like prickly and critical and all that, I don't care how much, you know, that you believe that you are a gentleness tree. You know, you may hope it, think it, pray it, wish it, whatever. But if that ain't the fruit, guess what? You're not. And there's no way around that. See, God the gardener, when you give your life to him, you know what he does? He does major surgery. You know what he does? He literally finds what you're currently connected to and chops it off. He then takes that branch, and it's called a graft. He literally applies it to Jesus, the new vine, attaches you to it, and then that is now where you get all your nourishment from. Remember, like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're going to get a good Bible today. I mean, if you want to write these down, write them down. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And trust me, you can tell when someone has been radically changed. You can tell when someone has literally said, I am not following this, myself, stuff in the world anymore. I'm following God. You can tell. You know why? Because there's no way you can hide it. You talk differently. You act differently. Your attitudes are different. matter of fact, if they aren't, then guess what? You're not a new creation. You should see new and different fruit in your life. Yeah, but Pastor, some habits are really hard to change. Have you heard people say that? Yeah, well, Pastor, I mean, this is really hard. I can't stop doing this. And the reality is, are there some addictive habits that are hard to stop? Are there? Yeah, there are. But I guess it kind of depends on how much control of your life you give to the gardener, isn't it? Well, like, let me give you for example. I do better with examples. Let's say you were addicted to porn. Okay? Let's say that was the addictive, you know, behavior that you had before you decided to follow Jesus. Well, did you cancel your internet service? Did you throw away the movies, the magazines, the books? Did you throw all that stuff away? And did you then let people know what your issue was, accountability, and tell them, all right, this is my problem. I want you to periodically check up on me, which means I give you permission to call me and ask me how I'm doing. Well, it'd be like if you were addicted to alcohol or some other addictive substance. I mean, did you, when you decided to follow Jesus, did you throw it all out? Did you then also next not go where it served or where you can buy it? Did you end the relationships of the people who cause you to want to do that more? Did you do what I just described before? Go to people that you trust and make yourself accountable, saying, no, periodically check in on me because this is a hard change in my life. Let's say you were addicted to gossip. Did you cancel all your social media accounts? Pastor, that's extreme. What do you mean cancel all that? Well, how much control are you giving to the gardener? How much desire do you have to not only become a new creation, but stay a new creation and continue to grow into a new creation? I mean, and can't you kind of go down the list of different, what we say are addictive sins? Look, what's addictive to you is not necessarily addictive to someone else. We all have our different areas in our life that are struggles for us. But if we approached them that way, where not only did we remove even the possibility of the sin in our life, but we then made ourselves accountable to other people to check up on us, which is the part that none of us do, right? We don't like that second part. We'll do the first part. But we don't want anyone checking. That's none of their business. As I've said so many times, your relationship with God is not personal. It's public. Why? Because you know what? If you say you're a follower of Jesus and you mess up, it reflects on the whole family. True. Let's be honest. If all of a sudden, front page, you see a picture or a mugshot of this guy right there because he got caught doing something he shouldn't have, you think it might impact you? Oh, got quiet all of a sudden. John, I need you to talk for me a little bit. Okay? All right. No one else is going to talk to me, so I need you to talk to me this morning. But look, I know this is going to be unpopular. This is not a popular sermon. I get it. But look, listen to my heart. I love you. I do. I love you. But anyone who believes that they are a follower of Jesus, but you still have habitual sins in your life, and you've not done everything in your power, like all the stuff that I just talked about, to stop yourself from doing those things and making yourself accountable to other people, I hate to tell you, but are you really a new creation? Or do you just kind of like the idea or the concept of following after Jesus? I mean, you want to go to heaven, right? But I don't want to give God everything. Pastor, can we just kind of increment? You know, we'll deal with each one of these sins. Like maybe every 3 months we'll add a new one. But see, the problem with not changing is that what did Jesus do for you? He gave what? A little bit? Partial? He gave it all. You know what? He actually expects us to do the same. All. As a matter of fact, He doesn't give any exceptions. I'll read you another scripture. This is Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Pastor, I was only kidding when I said that. That was a joke. You know, you have no sense of humor? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, it continues. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. This is not easy. I love you, and I want to make sure that every single person here who's hearing this sermon today will one day be with me in heaven one day. I do. But I know this. I will one day stand before God, and I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give an account of everything that I spoke to you. I'm more worried about giving an account for all the things that I was too scared to tell you. You know what I mean? The stuff that, well, you know, I might lose five people. They may not come back if I preach that strong about that sin. I'm just honestly concerned that if you really are a follower of Jesus or not. Let's go back to John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So what it's saying is that you can't be fruitless and a follower of Jesus. You can't. It's not possible. Look, that's not an easy verse. This is your pastor saying, this is not an easy verse. You kind of want to skip over this or soften it a little bit. I can't. Because, I mean, it's pretty black and white that those who don't bear fruit are removed. If you're connected to him, what the Bible is teaching us is that if you're connected to Jesus, you're getting everything you need in order to be able to live the life that God's asking you to live. You're getting, if you're connected to the true vine, the choice is still yours though, right? You still have to make the decision to either do or not do what God's asking you to do. I'll give you another parable, Luke 13, 6. Because I just don't want you to think that this is just my opinion, my thoughts, my words. I want this to be backed up in the Bible. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. I actually find it interesting that God is patient with us. Look, he waited 3 years and finally said, look, 3 years, obviously there's no fruit here, cut it down. But I love the fact that you have the vine dresser who literally is like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Give me one more year. I'm going to do extra. I'm going to put extra nutrients to make sure that the tree is... I'm going to remove any possibilities for it not to be able to thrive. Matter of fact, I'm going to dig around it, make sure it's well protected. And I love the fact that God, that's his heart is toward mercy. And you know what? We can actually be that in people's lives. Did you know that you have the ability to do that? You can be that person who helps people become fruitful. You can be the one who can help fertilize their soil. You can help them set protections around them, accountability that makes them at least, look, they still got to make the right choices though, right? Look, you can't make people do things. They still got to choose wisely. But you can play a part in someone being fruitful. I think that's cool. That's called discipleship. It's linking your arms with other like-minded Christians where you then, you're following Jesus together. All right, back to verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Look, once you're fruitful, God still expects changes in your life to even make you even more fruitful. Actually, this was interesting because let's just say I've learned I'm not a good pruner. When it comes to like the trees or things in my yard, I'm not. I'm terrible because it's really a skill. It was very specific that you never remove a branch unless you have a specific reason for doing it. Matter of fact, to remove a branch without a purpose is actually harmful to the tree. As a matter of fact, these were some of the common purposes I learned. Number one, it's to remove dead branches. That makes sense, right? I mean, if it's dead, I mean, why should it be on there? Another one was to improve the amount of light and airflow for the whole tree. Makes sense, right? The next one was to remove diseased branches. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? I mean, if it's diseased, remove it so it doesn't infect the entire tree. Hopefully you can, you know, stop it before it spreads. Another one was to remove redundant branches that only add weight to the tree. I mean, can you imagine or think of all just the different spiritual parallels that we could probably hit with just the pruning alone? I mean, yeah, I don't have time for all those. And those were just the common reasons to prune. But look, when I look at pruning in my life, it's very different than when I first decided to follow Jesus. It is, because there's a difference between being cut off from another branch, you know, another vine, and being grafted into another vine. That's like, I gave my life to Jesus. But see, what I'm talking about pruning, it's almost like minor changes that God's going to begin to ask you to do because he sees fruit in your life and wants to see more. I'll give you some, like I said, I love examples. Think of it this way. God will trim off certain relationships in your life because he's bringing you somewhere else and he's bringing them somewhere else. And you know what? It could be good relationships that are healthy. God trims off all the bad ones. Because, I mean, the diseased and dead branches, he does. He removes. But the reality is that God may remove good relationships in your life. I guess so you have to trust the gardener. God will sometimes trim off habits or distractions in your life. Have you noticed that? Some of those habits are good. Is it possible that God may ask you to tone down your exercise routine in order to allow him to do something different in your life? It's possible, right? Look, if they're bad habits, God, like, same thing, like disease, you know, dead, he's going to ask you to remove those. But even distractions, things that you're involved in, God may point at some good ones, some ones that the Bible says are okay. Some of the Bible may literally actually say it's good to do these things. Is it possible that God may prune some of those? And look, all my research, again, points to the fact that pruning, you only prune for a reason. You do not just aimlessly prune things. You don't. That's why it's so important for us to allow God to do the pruning and not us or someone else. Why? Because he's the gardener. He has the ability. So it's hearing the voice of God, listening to the voice of God, and obeying to the voice of God. It has to be that way. Because if it's not the voice of God, you won't do it. Right? If God literally says, stop watching that sport for a year, I'll rebuke you, devil. I mean, there's no way God would say that. Video games, I want you to cut that time in half. Oh, that pizza was bad last night, you know what I mean? You know what I also found interesting about pruning, the more research I did, is that it's most important when the tree is very young. See, proper pruning, it's essential in creating kind of a strong structure or foundation. Matter of fact, trees that receive appropriate pruning early, they actually need very little, I guess you'd say, corrective pruning later in life, which kind of makes sense, right? I mean, you know, it's not obvious, you know, sometimes what we need to prune. I mean, look, dead, diseased, that's pretty easy, but what about the stuff that isn't? So we need each other. We need discipleship. We need to be able to help and heal and minister to each other in this aspect. And I'm going to say something you probably will not expect to hear. I know, so brace yourself. You know, do you know it's not possible for you to get enough nutrients with just Sunday mornings alone? As much as I love my preaching, I think I'm the best preacher in the world. Actually, I don't. But and matter of fact, even if you added in your own personal time, do you know that's not enough? Well, why? I can tell you why. Number one, I'm not perfect. You know what I do every Sunday? I create a community meal. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I create a meal that's intended for everybody. It will not have specific food just for you. Here, let me help you understand. My meal that I'm creating, it's probably not organic. It's probably not vegan. It may have high spice, low spice, medium spice. I don't know. You know what I do on a Sunday morning? I give you whatever God has given me to give you. And you know it's not all? You're not perfect. I know. These revelations that you get from God when you're like preparing messages. I'm not perfect. And so you know what? You can't be expected to perfectly feed yourself. You can't. You want to have the benefit of other people providing food for you. The ones that hear clearly from God. Because they're going to have something that you may not necessarily have nutritionally. It is dangerous for you to depend on only yourself and me for your nutrition. It is. You will risk being malnourished. You know what that actually will make you? It will make you more susceptible to disease. That's what malnourishment did. It actually makes you more easily able to get disease. Matter of fact, you know what it'll cause God to have to do? More corrective pruning in your life. He'll have to start trimming things that, you know what? That good thing never was a problem until now. That has become an idol, so I'm going to have to snip that one off. That's why we need to find other people to help us in our journey of faith. That's why when Jen comes up and talks about a small group, you should be in one. Why? Because it's extra nutrition in your diet. It's finding like-minded relationships where iron is sharpening iron and you're marching through life together because they may have a vitamin that you have no access to, but you desperately need. All right, so what do I want to leave with you today? Make sure you're growing in your relationship with God. Look, you can look in a mirror and you can see if your words, actions, and attitudes are what Jesus would do in that situation, right? It's pretty straightforward. And look, either you're going to see the evidence of fruit in your life or not. Now, if you believe that you're connected to the wrong vine, I don't care how long you've been in church, but if you are giving off fruit that does not follow what the Bible says, a fig tree can't bear olives. Salt water doesn't come from a freshwater spring. It doesn't work that way. Do you hear me? So, look, you may have been in church your entire life, or this may be your very first day in church, or somewhere in between. But if you're connected to the wrong vine, you're seeing the wrong fruit, time to repent, change. You need to become a new creation. And that's not a one-time event. It's a, I give my life to Jesus, and now, like I talked before, what do I need to do so I can remain a new creation, where I can make sure that I'm not dealing with addictions or problems from the past? Getting rid of and being accountable. It's not just the nutrition, it's the protection. That's what a fruit does. But look, if you're connected to the true vine, and honestly, you're seeing fruitlessness. So it's not like I don't have a bunch of bad fruit in my life, but honestly, I don't have a bunch of good fruit in my life. Well, what that may mean, it's time for some pruning. And remember, it's not just bad stuff that gets pruned. There are things in your life that sometimes that are really good that God needs to prune because the airflow, it's blocking, you know, it's causing shade to go over the rest of the tree that's not healthy for the tree as a whole. You know, maybe there's too many branches in that one area and it's weighing it down and it's going to risk breaking the whole tree. Have any of you thought, man, I am just too busy? I guess no one wants to put their hand up now, right? You know, like, oh, wait a minute. Pastor will talk to me later. Look, a lot of you complain about being too busy. So you're telling me that your tree is getting weighed down by maybe a lot of good things, and God's saying, because of that, you risk breaking the whole tree, or the fruit that's coming out, it's all small and kind of useless. It's not actually reaching full maturity. And God may be saying, and no, that, no, take that one and do that one, not this one. Either you trust God to do the right snips or you don't. Who's the gardener in your life? It's not you. Matter of fact, if it's you, you'll be like me who goes out and prunes, and I'm just trimming away. And it looks like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree when I'm done, and I guess I'm kind of praying that it'll grow back. But see, if you hear the voice of God and God tells you what needs to be pruned, it'll work. It will work. So, look, this is kind of, I guess you'd say, an umbrella message. My goal was to introduce this because I want to teach you two new concepts in the beginning of this year that I think are really going to be valuable for your life. I guess you'd say the month of January, we're going to do a checkup on our bodies. It's God kind of wants us to see, are you ready to be fruitful? Which means we got to make sure that we've taken care of our heart, taken care of our mind, taken care of our body, and taken care of our relationships, both our relationship with God and with each other, because you need both. They both got to be healthy. So I'm going to cover those in their entirety. I'll take one per Sunday, and we'll cover them. But then after that, we need to do some periodic fruit of the Spirit checks. You know what that means? We're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit one at a time. I don't have time this morning. I have other scriptures and stuff, and I've totally lost my ability to give everything that I want to. But this is the long and the short of it. We're going to cover each one, love, joy, peace, cover them one at a time. And I want you to kind of be able to see, what can I do to plan ahead to make sure that I can be fruitful in that area? Then the next thing I want you to do is I want you to be able to commit to putting in the work to make sure that you can be fruitful. And that means that you have to make the right choices, you have to count the cost, and you have to be committed to doing it all the way through to the end. And to be honest, you got to be willing to periodically check to see if there's fruit. Because look, if you think you're the most gentle person in the world, but your fruit ain't gentle, there may be some pruning necessary. And finally, well, and this is important, we need purposeful accountability. Purposeful accountability. You know why? Because I've learned that I don't change well. And to be honest, I don't want to change often. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of great intentions. And isn't January kind of like that month? You have all these great intentions of, I'm going to get exercise, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, I'm going to start here, I'm going to hit the ground running at work, I'm going to get A's this semester. You have all these different goals. You really want to make sure you're going to do them? Tell someone. Because you know what I've learned? When I do my own periodic fruit checks, I think I'm doing pretty good. But when I go to someone who I love and trust and say, look. Ooh, that's hard, isn't it? For us that's married, we love doing that to our spouse, right? Yeah, take a look at whatever you want and tell me what you see. We don't like that. Isn't that our job, the family of God? If we really say that we love each other, what that means is you will allow someone to have access to your life, to see things that you've before kept hidden. And you will commit to them to do the same. I'll look into your life and I'll give you feedback on what I see in your life. Most people stop following God because they follow him alone. Look, our small groups, we have a church of usually 80 to 100. Our small groups of only three, that's all we have, they should be packed to the gill, and I literally should be having to divide them into multiple groups. Pastor, those are terrible days. All right, well then tell me the day, and I'll find the host home, and I'll start a new day so we can all be accountable to each other. The truth is I love you, and I want you to grow. And I'm telling you, God won't let me shake it. There's going to be a lot of fruit checks this year. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, you know, I always thought I was really patient, or I really always thought that there was a lot of kindness in me. Wow, I always used to be the happiest guy. I was always full of joy. But you're going to do some fruit checks and you're going to see that, you know what, maybe you've been weighted down and God needs to trim a little bit. Or maybe you've had, you know, or to be honest, maybe there's some things that are kind of diseased. You know, it started out good, but it became an idol, and God now is saying, no, I'm not even going to talk to you until you remove it. Get rid of it. It's evil, it's bad, and we're going to have to wash the hands.